Good morning. If you could all find our seats, we're going to open with hymn number 125 in your hardbacked hymnal, 125, Jesus Paid It All. Let's all stand together. Number 125.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. My wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Please be seated.
Good morning. What a blessing to be able to sing that hymn with some understanding. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessings. Our Heavenly Father, we come into thy holy presence, looking in faith to thy dear Son for all the hope of our acceptance, for all our righteousness, and all our justification before thee. We thank you, Lord, for the work of grace that has opened the eyes of our understanding and given us faith in Christ. Lord, we pray this morning for anyone that might remain a stranger to your grace and, Lord, to your lost sheep that would be under the sound of the gospel, and ask, Lord, that this would be the day that you would make them willing and call them and draw them to Christ. Lord, we thank you for recovering for your bride and for your children our death and our separation from thee in sin. We ask, Lord, that you'd bless now your word, enable us to set our affections on things above, where the Lord Jesus is seated victorious at thy right hand. We ask it in his name. Amen. I'll ask you to open your Bibles with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I've titled this message, David Recovered All. We know this is not about David. We know that God has written his word so that it's all about Christ and his work of redemption on behalf of his people and fulfilling and accomplishing the work that the Father sent him to do. And I'm reminded of when the disciples asked the Lord, "Lord, why do you speak to them in parables?" And the Lord said, "Because for you it's to be known the mystery of the kingdom of God, but for them it's not. It's not to be known." And there is a very real sense in which these Old Testament stories are parables. They're physical pictures of a spiritual truth. And so I pray the Lord will enable us to look beyond the physical historical events that took place here in the life of David and enable us to see the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of David, who accomplished for his people the recovery that they need to be delivered from sin and from death. And that's what this story's about. So you have your Bibles open to 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 1. "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captive and they that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive." Now, David and his 600 men were out on a military campaign, and when they come home to their family, they find that they've all been taken captive and the city of Ziklag has been burned. In verse 4, "And David and the people that were there with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep." Now, they would not have known at this point that their wives and children had not been killed. "And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." Lord willing, we'll be looking at that phrase next Sunday and how in our distresses and in our troubles and in our sin, how we encourage ourselves in the name of the Lord our God. Where else do we have to go to find hope and comfort? We'll reserve that for another day. Verse 7, "And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David." Now, that was the priest's garment through which they discerned the will of God. "And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." Turn with me We'll skip over the verses following and go to verse 17. Now David has encountered the Amalekites in verse 17, and David smote them from twilight even to evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that had been taken to them. David recovered all. Three times in this passage, David recovered all. What a glorious type, what a picture, what a parable we see in this story of what the Lord Jesus accomplished at Calvary's cross, what he continues to accomplish through the preaching of the gospel and the presence of his Spirit, and what he shall accomplish when the Amalekites are brought to their ultimate end. This word recovered means to return or to bring back. And that's what David did. He brought back the wives and the children. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is referred to in scriptures as the bride of Christ. We have fallen in our father Adam, and we were in need of being brought back, of being recovered. The church is also referred to as the children of God. Not everyone is a child of God. To as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God. God is the creator of all men, but he's not the father of all men. He's the father of his children. And so here's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ bringing back, returning back into fellowship with God, his wives and his children. We've been taken captive by the Amalekites. They say, well, who are these Amalekites? Turn with me to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. You remember what's happening here, the children of Israel being led by Moses in the wilderness from the very beginning of those 40 years were being attacked by the Amalekites. And the scripture says that they were picking off the young and the weak from the stragglers in the back of the crowd. And the Lord tells Moses to gather about an army and to go against the Amalekites. And so Moses appoints Joshua, another glorious picture of Christ, to lead in the battle. And Moses, up on the mountain with Aaron and Hur, you remember that when Moses' hands were raised up, then Joshua was able to defeat the Amalekites. And when his hands became tired and they were lowered, the Amalekites would get the advantage over the children of Israel. And it's a picture of our dependence on the Lord to deliver us from these Amalekites. And I want you to see what the Lord says here in verses 14 and 16, 14 through 16 in chapter 17 of Exodus. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly destroy out of the remembrance of Amalekite from under heaven. So here's the promise of God. I'm going to destroy this nation. In verse 15, and Moses built an altar and called the name Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is our banner. He is the one who leads us into battle against this spiritual enemy, the Amalekites. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Now the Amalekites were a perpetual enemy of Israel. They were never fully destroyed. Turn with me now, if you will, to Numbers chapter 24. God is putting into the mouth of a false prophet by the name of Balaam another prophecy concerning Amalek. And in Numbers chapter 24 at verse 20, and when he looked on Amalek, he took up this parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever. So, who is Amalek? Who are the Amalekites? Well, Amalek was the grandson of Esau. Esau, a picture of our old man, the flesh. And the Lord's promise here is that from generation to generation, there will be a conflict between Israel, the prince, and Amalek, the child, the first nation. How did we come into this world? We came into this world as descendants, if you will, in the flesh of Esau. We had but one nature. When we're born into this world with one nature, that old man, that nature of the Amalekites. And then in the new birth, we're given a new nature. And that new nature is the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts. Does the old man ever go away? No. No, but beginning at the time of our new birth, there is a perpetual battle between Israel and Amalek. And it's not until the end that enemy will be ultimately defeated. The name Amalek means dwellers in the valley. And in the Bible, we see a stark contrast between valleys and mountaintops, and how the flesh is drawn to the comfort of the valley. Lot, you remember, when given a choice by Abraham to choose the fertile ground of the valley or to live in the higher regions of the mountains, chose the valley. And we know where he ended up, in Sodom. And that valley ultimately was destroyed. So the Amalekites, by definition, are dwellers of the valley. The scripture speaks of us right now living in the shadow of the valley of death. In Psalm 23, we live in this world and our old man is dead and dying. And we live in this valley, and the flesh is always attracted to that which is comfortable, which is easy. And that flesh nature, that Amalekite nature, is in conflict with the new man who lives on the mountain. Mountains in the Bible are, you know, the mountains to the flesh are hard to climb. The flesh resists the efforts of climbing the mountain. We're attempting right now to climb a mountain, to get into those higher regions where the Lord is pleased to reveal more of his glory, much like he did on Mount Carmel when the fire of God fell on that sacrifice and the prophets of Baal were destroyed and Elijah glorified Christ in that experience. We're reminded of the Mount of Transfiguration where the veil of our Lord's humanity was taken away long enough for those disciples, Peter, James, and John, to see something of his glory. And we're reminded especially of Mount Calvary where the Lord Jesus Christ hung on a tree between heaven and earth, the only one able to touch God and not be defiled, and not be destroyed, and touch man and not be defiled. He's the mediator, the one man through whom we have access into the very presence of God. And yet, even as we're attempting now to scale that mountain, I believe I can speak for myself and for you that there's something in us. There's something in your flesh that resists that climb. There's a slumbering. There's a weakness in the flesh. And is there any a time when we fight the battle between the spirit and the flesh more than when we come together in public worship? I know there's no more time for me than when I have the responsibility to stand up here and try to speak to you about the things of God. There's no more time when I struggle with my flesh more than here. And I suspect for you that it's easier in some senses for you to give your full concentration to a movie or to a sporting event than it is to give your concentration to worship. Is that not true? Is there not something that's prone to wander in our Amalekite nature, particularly when we are attempting to do something spiritual and get into those high grounds where God is pleased to show forth his glory? You see, this is the battle. This is the battle. And it's the battle with the flesh. It's the battle with the descendants of Esau. And it's a battle that is perpetual. It never goes away. Our sin is continual. Our weakness of the flesh, it remains here in this life. A couple of more references to a valley. The scripture says we pass through the valley of Baca. And that word Baca means weeping. And so there's a weeping that we experience. We weep over our flesh. We mourn over our sin. We long to be able to worship God and to be able to know him as we ought. And yet there's an Amalekite nature that's holding us down and holding us back. And the Lord said, David recovered all. David recovered all. Another valley that we read of in the Bible is in Ezekiel chapter 37. When the prophet looked out and saw that valley of dry bones. What is that a picture of? Well, the Lord tells us in that chapter, he says, this is the whole house of Israel. These are those who have been slain by their rebellion because of their rebellion against God. They have raised their fist in rebellion against God to heaven. And the Lord has slain them, and their bones are dried in a valley. Can these bones live? Can these bones live? That's what the Lord asked the prophet. And what did Ezekiel say? Lord, thou knowest. Translated, that means, Lord, if they're going to live, you're going to have to make them live. They have no power in themselves. They've been dried in the heat of the sun. There's not enough marrow left in these bones to get a DNA test. I mean, they are dead. Lord, if you're going to bring the bones together, you're going to have to be the one to do it. And that's what David did. David recovered all. I love it when the scripture says that when Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, another picture of our salvation, not a hoof was left behind. Every single Israelite was brought out safely, and not even an animal that belonged to the Israelites were left behind. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, pictured here by David, the king, the shepherd of his people, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the man after God's own heart, that's Christ, recovered all. He recovered all. He didn't leave a hoof behind. He was successful in what he came to do. He said, I'll not lose one of my sheep. There are sheep and there are goats in this world. And among the sheep, there are found sheep and there are lost sheep. And the Lord will leave the 99 found sheep and go out into the wilderness and find that one wandering lost sheep and bring them in. Not one will be lost. Christ recovered all. And he did it all by himself. Oh, how glorious and how successful he is. Here we are, carried off by the Amalekites. Here we are, the wives and the children of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our city's been burned with fire, and we've been carried off into captivity of our own sin. And the Lord Jesus goes to his Father. Father, shall I fetch him? Shall I bring them back? Shall I recover them? Go. And you will not fail. And David recovered all. Oh, what a glorious type. What a beautiful picture of what our Lord accomplished. You remember in Acts chapter 27 when Paul, the apostle, was on a ship. And the scripture tells us there were 276 souls on that ship. And the ship is in a storm, and it's falling, it's breaking to pieces, and it's falling apart. And some of the men wanted to leave the ship. And the apostle Paul told the captain of the ship, don't let any of these men leave. For if any of them leave, you cannot be saved. Now the picture there is, and none of the 276 left, and the scripture says that all 276 souls were saved. If there's one person for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross that's not saved, then there's no hope for any of us. What the Lord accomplished on the cross was the full salvation, the full satisfaction of his Father, the full justification and righteousness of his elect, when he bowed his mighty head and said, it is finished, he recovered all. He recovered all. He recovered all at the cross. Adam plunged the entire human race into rebellion against God. The scripture says, in Adam, all died. Now, Adam is not only our federal head, that means that he represents all mankind, which is why the Lord Jesus Christ had to be born of a virgin. He could not be born of the seed of Adam as you and I were. But not only is Adam our federal head in that he's our representative, he's our seminal head. We were actually in Adam When Adam sinned, every single one of us were in his DNA. And God credited Adam's fall to all of humanity. And that's what happened. When we were born into this world, we were born spiritually dead and separated from God. And when the Lord Jesus Christ bowed his head on Calvary's cross and he said, "It is finished," he recovered all those whom he came to save. He recovered his elect. As a result of what the Lord Jesus accomplished on Calvary's cross, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The law's been satisfied. God's been justified. And all for whom Christ died were actually, successfully redeemed at the cross so that Christ recovered all. So his recovery for his church is a past tense event, but it's also a current, a present tense reality for the believer. In regeneration, the Holy Spirit makes us willing in the day of his power. The Holy Spirit gives us faith in Christ. And in regeneration, in the new birth, the Lord Jesus recovers all. He doesn't leave any behind. All for whom he died will be brought to faith in Christ. And for the first time in the believer's life, he comes to see that that which is of the flesh is flesh, and that the flesh profiteth nothing. Prior to your regeneration, you are going about in the power of your own flesh, trying to establish your own righteousness before God. That's just the natural way. That's what we think by nature. That's our fallen state. We think that we can somehow recommend ourselves to God and find some hope of our salvation in what we do and in what we don't do. And in the new birth, the Lord kills that Amalekite nature. He puts it to death. Paul said, "That which I thought was gain, I now know was loss. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord." And so in regeneration, the Lord Jesus Christ recovers all. He exposes that old man for what he is, in rebellion against God and spiritually dead. And he recovers to himself through faith so that we are able to say and believe, for the first time, "All my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I have no righteousness whatsoever outside of the Lord Jesus Christ." He recovered all in redemption at Calvary's cross. He recovers all in regeneration in the new birth. And he recovers all in sanctification. In sanctification. Now, child of God, you know that old man rears its ugly head often. And here's our hope. When we are not faithful, he remaineth faithful, for he cannot deny himself. He keeps us from falling. He presents us faultless. He works in us, causing us to will and to do after God's good pleasure. He causes us to want to come back to Christ. And this old Amalek nature. Paul said, "I die daily." I die daily. How do I die daily? That's the work of grace. That's the Holy Spirit slaying us, and how we have to be put to death. These Amalek, this Amalekite nature has to continually be put to death so that our self-righteousness and our pride can be exposed for what it is, and we can find all of the hope of our salvation in the person and work of our glorious Savior, Jesus Christ. Here's David recovering all. And David and the Lord told Moses, he said, the Amalekites are going to be your enemy from generation to generation. But then he said, in the end, they're going to be destroyed. Oh, child of God, is that not our hope? Is that not our hope? We look in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, never satisfied right now. David said this. He said, I will behold thy face in righteousness, and then I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. The final destruction of Malachite comes when we draw our fleeting breath in this world, and that old man dies, and the corruptible is made incorruptible, and the mortal is made immortal, and we see him as he is. And then and only then shall we be made like him in the fullness of our experience. No more sin. No more Malachites. David recovered all. All. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the successful work of thy dear Son. Lord, we pray that you would strive with us, keep us, slay that old man again and again. Lord, give us hope in knowing that one day Amalek will be destroyed from the face of the earth. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.